It's time to bring in David Tarachuk. It's time for the Media Beat. David joins us, of course, every Friday morning. We rebroadcast, David, during the week on the noontime hour and also on the weekend as well. You can find David at his own website, themediabeat.us. Also, he is a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. And we bring David in this morning. David, good morning.
Well, hello.
And how are you this morning?
Well, I'm great. I'm back in the wonderful state of Maine. And I may be far from the media capital in the world, but I want to draw to your attention the surprise media news of the week. Get this for a big shock. Former White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, of blessed memory, remember her, has joined Fox News as a contributor and commentator. What a surprise, huh?
I just noticed that today. Well, she's got to do that to prep the groundwork so she can run for governor of the state she wants to. You know, get as much good press from the folks that'll watch
Arkansas her. Arkansas, in all likelihood, sure.
Yeah. It's just another strange story about the life that we lead here in this country. Where people can hop from politics to big corporations to media and back and forth, and people wonder why the money and the media flow is that way.
Yes, absolutely, and in particular the very thin membrane, no membrane at all, really, separating the Trump administration from Fox News. Yes, as if we didn't know about it very fully already, but. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the bully of the pulpit, the press secretary's now on television as a paid contributor. No surprise at all, of course.
No. Now, this is a sign of the times, and it's amazing that it happened out in our little neck of the woods. A sign of the times of really how on edge this country is. According to Connecticut State Police, yesterday, a man from Canaan, Connecticut, now Canaan is only about 9.5 miles north of us, okay, was arrested by the Connecticut State Police. I'm not going to give his name because actually everybody who knows the guy says he's kind of a nice guy and they can't believe this. But anyways, this man's from Canaan, Connecticut. It seemed like when he was at the Department of Motor Vehicles in Norwalk, by the way, which is down by the coast, he was there like most people are when you're at motor vehicles for a long period of time. And he allegedly made a comment, "Today seems like a good day to shoot to kill," while he was at the transaction booth, okay? And then he suggested after that he would return to the DMV at another time. Well, the person who was at that countertop, well, works for the state, of course, contacted state police. State police actually found him and charged him with second-degree threatening and second-degree breach of peace. He was released on a $10,000 bond. He's going to be in Norwalk court on September 13th to face the charges. And some people have commented that they know the guy and it doesn't seem like the guy at all. That's not the point. What the point is this country is so on edge with gun violence that you are constantly told if you see or hear something, report it. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. I mean, hopefully this man will be able to explain what happened and he'll just get a slap on the wrist. In today's society, you can no longer joke around like that or say anything like that at all.
Yeah, not wise to make a joke of mass shootings. Of course not. And as you say, very much an indicator of a moving country. It's not overreaching or overstretching to make that point, I don't think. You could even see, you could see it happening. I mean, the old phrase going postal might eventually become going DMV, or you know, it could be applied to anything. Remember, one of the most recent mass shootings was a bunch of people outside a nightclub. There was, of course, the actual inside the nightclub, but from outside, shooting that took place in Las Vegas. Almost any location is a possible candidate now for one of our peculiar American institutions, the mass shooting.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that cropped up locally, and will be a sign. You'll see this cropping up at other communities throughout the world as we're going to have to readjust what we do. You know, like I was telling earlier to our meteorologist, remember when Patty Hearst was the rage years ago? I was working in Kingston, New York, and I had purchased a brand new Dodge Dart Sport convertible, and myself and two other guys, we left on a Friday. We went to Canada. And on the way back on a Saturday night, we got to the border guard, and that all a simple question was asked of me, which was, do you have anything to declare? And one of the people sitting in the car jokingly said, yeah, Patty Hearst is in the trunk. Well, we spent 3 days at a motel as they took my car and they inspected.
At least it was a motel.
They inspected everything about my car. So I learned at a very early age. don't swat the bee's nest.
No, but people. There is something that was carried in the Stanford Advocate, but it was out of the Washington Post. It was an opinion piece from a couple of days ago, it's written as an opinion piece, but it was essentially, I'm paraphrasing. What do you all expect? You spend a bunch of time with reality television and voting. On talent. Basically, the media learned to save money a long time ago by doing, quote, reality shows, all right? One of the biggest reality shows was the...
Programs that cost very little to do, yeah.
Right, and one of the biggest reality shows was The Apprentice. Anyway, the long short is, in these reality shows that...
Well, look where that got us, yes.
But that's the entire point. Basically, this opinion piece said, stop. What did you think was going to happen? You tell everybody that, you know, like the more outrageous you are to get attention. Basically, the piece was, why is everybody, you know, weeping into their hankies or clutching their bodices? What is the plural of bodice? Pearls. Choke. What you want to know. Why are people clutching their pearls?
That's a good stab, yeah.
Just why? Why? What? My favorite line, what did you think was going to happen? And apropos, what did you, because the pollsters come around, it's like, oh, how could this be said? How could, yeah, really? If you're trying to stand out from the bunch, it's the only way on TV. And with this excessive now screen addiction, which is pretty hilarious, I mean, it's gotten so bad, it's gotten so bad that it's really hard to get stuff done if you don't have some sort of either analog life or at least an animal that needs to be fed that there isn't an app for. And you can talk about politics, you can talk about drug prices, you can talk about anything. But I am deeply focused on what a poor job we're doing bringing our... kids, this isn't for everybody, and I do know a lot of parents. I'm actually far more optimistic about the 16, 17 to 23s, 26s than I am about the 30s to 45s, who basically have spent now so much time on screens that they don't know how to assess the information that they're getting because it's just, you know, it's oversaturation. And I saw something I'm just totally going to name names because I'm really, really wondering where the grown-ups are. The other night, poor Chris Matthews on Hardball had a guest who was the perfect guest. She was the perfect demographic, okay? It's just exactly who you want on. And she was just enraged at what was going on in politics. And they needed to pick a Democratic candidate into office and get rid of Mitch McConnell because they had to deal with health care. And they were going to do it by executive order. And you know, Chris Matthews, to his credit, because I couldn't handle it, was basically, you can't do that by executive order. There's a government. You know,
executive orders have become quite the fashion, of course. I don't say that. And we know why. They're emanating from a White House that is not very adept at arranging things in a constitutional order.
But it didn't start
like
there.
Like perhaps having someone propose legislation and then support it and then get it passed.
Because
executive orders are the order of the day, so to speak.
And
it's not surprising that people will think that the way to exert executive power these days is just to use a diktat. What a form of governance is at all possible.
Right.
I'm not surprised.
I understand, but I am also, history begins at the point in time most convenient to the argument. Other people have used because the whole point is that it seems that in this outrage machine that we've built, the purpose is not to get anything done. It's just the purpose is to create essentially gridlock. It'd be like watching a football game where nobody scores. And if you want to have something to run on or something to do, you go around it. And I'm not talking about this administration. I'm just talking about just the huge overview and why this is acceptable. I do not know, except that, there's a lot of money being made by a lot of people, and I'm pretty sure that they want their nice lives to continue the way their nice lives are going. The way that narratives, I mean, we use the word narrative, that's for fiction, right? The way that narratives evolve.
It can be applied in a way that is kind of rather accurate for much of the time. People spin narratives, it's just not one thing happening after another. The implication is that it's somehow a fake story in itself. Nothing would suit the general national mood better, I think, than conceiving that everything we're being told is somehow cast in terms of some sort of phony story.
Yeah.
I have to say this, though, about executive orders. They've gotten so out of control over the past 25 years, is that if a Democratic president is elected, what they can legally do is come in and write, and this is going to happen, this is the absurd thing about executive orders, they can write executive orders ending the previous administration's executive orders without any legal problems at all. And unfortunately, that's what I think people are realizing now happens with executive orders, and that's why when President Obama says elections have consequences, for us, unfortunately, as a country, the consequences are that whoever gets elected president from now on, I think, is going to do exactly what happened this time, is write a bunch of executive orders undoing what was done by the previous president, if that president is from another party.
Yeah, so...
And just one more example of how our general discourse and style of governance generally has become coarsened and corroded, just Punch and Judy show it turns into in the end. We flip flop from one side to another. That's assuming, of course, that this current administration is ever reversed. I don't want to sound too pessimistic, but that kind of argument, that kind of concern about the future assumes that there will be a switchback, and it's possible that there may not be a switchback.
And apropos, I think that it is the duty. I mean, this was another thing. This was an Axios, was it? It wasn't Jonathan Swan. It was somebody else. It was a kid, and it was their early morning thing, also on MSNBC. and that happened to be what, they had gone out and talked to voters.
Yeah.
They had gone out and talked to voters. And they were rendering the voters' opinion at that point. And the two hosts, these two hosts are sitting there going, well, that's not what we think. And all I could think about as an old crank was, who gives a bleep what you think? Why don't you just listen to this? Because pretty much you sit there all day yammering, and you've got no clue. And there's nothing that creates intolerance and division faster than having no clue, but then being unwilling to listen to what the person is saying. You know, you walk in, you say, hey, Joe, you look a little upset about XYZ. The person says, no, I'm not upset about XYZ. I'm upset about ABC. And then you say, well, I'm really, really sorry about XYZ. He's like, you didn't listen to the guy. I guess you've discharged your duty as a compassionate human being, and off you've gone. And this is so frustrating. And then the excuse is that, well, now it's basically a metricized generation that's only interested in polls. So we give them polls. It's like, kids, you better listen to those poll questions. You better understand there's a margin for error, because otherwise they're going to be, forgetting that elections have consequences and all the diabolical consequences of the last one, people still haven't recovered from the fact that they really expected something else entirely to happen.
I don't know why they did. The final polls showed exactly what was going to happen.
Marshall, I always say, unfortunate thing about you is you are media literate. No, you are. You started in the internet business as an AOL monitor.
Yeah,
no.
But you can throw away polls. But when you look at polls a couple of days before an election.
I'm not worried about you.
Yeah, that's the only time that polls really are accurate. That's why I know it's big business for polling company. But taking polls so far out when really anything can change anything in a moment's notice with America's electric between social media and between CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, each with their own corners. It's just...
But we've only got 438 days to go. The point is that you can't turn on any one of the channels without hearing about a poll and, well, what do we think and where does that position so-and-so? And it is basically like a baby horse being born, and it's like, okay, you're handicapping the Kentucky Derby. You don't know the thing's going to survive.
Yeah, all I know is that I don't watch any of those networks.
I understand. But I do. And I also, my point here is that you are older and you know how to read between the lines because you came up at a different time. My complaint, for lack of a better word, is I don't know that we are doing any great service on any level to the people who don't know how to do that and who think that what they're being given is either true or false, no nuance, thank you very much, and then go off with completely fucked ideas about how to run a railroad, if you will. Or a media company.
Yeah, the general coarsening and...
Well...
David, you still there?
Nope.
I'll be back. He'll bring it back on.
Yeah, okay. Are you hearing me?
Now we're hearing you. You were off just a second. Yep. You're back now.
You got to coarsening.
Sorry, I'm just saying that I'm back on the hobby horse about the coarsening of our discourse, but also the corroding of information give and take, too. That and what you were saying so accurately about the sheer saturation factor, we take so much in, that, of course, the generation raised on this explosion of material is bound to be, decision-making challenged. It's very hard to... sort the wheat from the chaff in the current media landscape in a kind of perpetual sandstorm. And yes, of course, you do have to have probably decades of experience now to be able to sit back and say, okay, well, you know, I can discern the truth from the fog here. And not an awful lot of people are able to do that these days. I think you're right. It's very concerning. And you know, the obvious question is, what do we do about it? Well, I think we stop scattering stories about cold so stupid. Well, you know, in such a unhelpful way, do some real proper dissection of polls when they come up, not just react to the top line only, which is what happens in most reporting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not every reporting, it has to be said. But it's our job as consumers to seek out the reliable reporters and the reliable analysts.
Yeah, and then you have something that's just come out right now, and this is a massive problem in my view, and it's how quickly disinformation misinformation. It's not even dis; it's miss, and usually it's spread over something that's rather important. And what's just come out on AFP is, and I'm just reading, many high-profile figures. They were talking about the Amazon fires, but they have used photographs that are not of these fires. So Macron's was taken by a man named Lauren McIntyre, who's been dead since 2003, which means that the image that he was using for the, you know, the Amazon burning as the Amazon is quite elderly.
You know who's taking a lot of pictures of the Amazon burning and they don't get enough public credit? There's an American Airlines captain who flies out of Lakeville. He lives in Lakeville, and he flies to London, but he flies all the world lines. Every time they fly over the Amazon, they take pictures at night when they're at night, and it's the most unbelievable thing you'll ever see, David. The amount of fires that shoot that.
Yeah, I've
that
seen hit. Those pictures. It would not be beyond the capacity of the presidential office in the Elysee Palace to have got an up-to-date photograph of the Amazon fires. I mean, that's shockingly bad piece of literally public relations. I don't mean, you know, smoothing stuff over, but it's the straightforward business of public communicating.
Yeah,
that was a shockingly bad piece of a very important message destroyed, or is very badly damaged by poor execution.
It goes along with what happened to the president when he spoke to those young Republicans. Somebody at that young Republican group was asked to put up an image of the president's presidential seal. They went on the internet. They found one. Unfortunately, it was a bogus one that was mixed with Russia and stuff like that, and they put it up there. This is what's happening.
And there's no
true editors anymore. More that really know how to edit and to say, hey, did you see what this really is?
And to double check.
Yeah. And to go look at it. Yeah. And the sanctimony with which, and I'm getting the hook. Sorry, so everybody's going to get a respite. But the sanctimony, we don't need them anymore. We have a reader center. It's like, oh, yeah, good. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
And that's just, I'm sorry.
Look where that has got us. Yeah.
And circling back, what did you think was going to happen?
Exactly.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk.
Well, on that note.
Yes. We will talk to you again,
well,
I hope.
Yeah, I'll be back in New York next time. Bye-bye.
All right. Enjoy the wilds of Maine, David.
And I'll do it. Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
And you can find David online here with us on Robin Hood Radio Live on a Friday morning rebroadcast during the week and also on the weekends.